So that's it. The craziness is kind of done for a bit. It feels like the last few weeks in fantasy have been pretty much a full-time job, managing your team, making sure you're prepared for the blanks, the doubles. Now we're on to game week 35, which just feels a little bit more calm. If FPL can ever be calm, Sam?
Yeah, normal maybe. 10 match game weeks. I don't know that we'll ever feel calm until game week 38 is in the bag though with us lot, because you love it so much that you can't forget about it, can you? It's just like, we'll keep going until the end. But yeah, it's going to be a couple of normal weeks, but actually it's not. It's going to be one regular week of 10 game weeks, and then we'll go back into some double game week carnage again.
Yeah, they're not quite as big a doubles, are they? But one of the teams in particular that's playing is obviously a team that we're very, very interested in. Jules, I don't know why I said calm. Do you know what? I'm the least calm of the three of us. I'm the worst. So it's definitely not going to be calm, is it? Jules, I don't know who did the seating plan at the Emirates on Sunday, but we actually sat next to each other, didn't we, for the Arsenal Women's Champions League game. Jules, midway through, just went to me, "How's your fantasy team doing?" Because he knew that he wasn't having the best game week.
Absolutely. And you know what? I thought long and hard about asking you because I just didn't want to go there. But if you're right, obviously, before the show too, because I had a disaster class. Literally everything that could have gone wrong for my team went wrong this game week, which is a shame because I only got 32 points, which is really poor. And when I asked you on Sunday, I was really hoping, and I know it's bad, and you're my friend, so I wanted you to do well. Obviously, I always do, all of us to do well.
It's all right, I know that.
No, I promise you I did, but I was kind of hoping that you actually didn't do that well, so you would go, yeah. And you started by saying to me, yeah, no, I've had a bad week, and I was like, get in, come on. So as bad as me, and then you were much better than me, and in the end, you're more than twice my points. Yeah, 32, I brought in Roofs in goal, who obviously had the shocker of a 5-0 defeat at home. I brought in Chabi Simmons, who was my differential, and I completely jinxed him. The poor kid is going to miss the World Cup at the end of the season, and I feel really bad. A week after Gomez from Brighton, I jinxed somebody else. To Igor Thiago, who literally missed every chance that he could have had, I swear, on purpose to make me not have any points in my team. Literally everything went wrong, pretty much.
If it makes you feel any better, I had Simmons, Solanke and Salah who all went off injured. So I had a treble of injuries early on. So yeah, I think the reason I was so disappointed was because it was on a free hit. And Sam, I know you took out Morgan Gibbs-White an hour before the deadline. I just want to read you my transfers in the last hour. I told Jules this the other day. Let me get them up. I should have done this beforehand. So all week I had Gibbs-White at 6:16. I took out Gibbs-White for Ezza. Great, could have left it as that, couldn't I? At 6:27, I thought Ezza doesn't score as many goals as I'd like. I did Ezza to Rice. At 6:29, I did Rice to Wilson. So it just got worse and worse and worse. In those last, this is why I'm dangerous just before a deadline. Of the four players I looked at, I went for one of the two that didn't return, but that's what FPL
is. Is it the same when you book your holidays? Let's go to the Maldives. No, actually, let's go to Hawaii. Let's go to Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, I got 59 points. Sam, our free hits were very similar, weren't they?
Yeah, I'm so annoyed with myself because I'd set my free hit team up on Sunday and then I did not move it. And I was convinced that was the right thing. Like, I was on the right team because I didn't even think about changing it. And then on Friday afternoon, I decided, because it was a nice day, I was going to take the kids swimming. So I was like, right, I'll take them swimming and then I will, it doesn't matter that I'll be in the pool when the deadline happens. That's fine. I'm settled. I'll just take one more look. And then I just had it in my head that Igor Thiago felt like a massive problem to leave out. So then I thought, well, I don't know if I'll be able to cope with Monday night if I've taken him out. So then I spiraled and decided that the best thing to do was just to lose one of my midfielders so that I could play three up top. And of course, I could have chosen Morgan Rogers to go. Instead, I chose Morgan Gibbs-White. And then Friday night happened and I just thought, oh, this is going to be an absolute disaster. As it happens, it wasn't. It was a decent enough week. 59, it's another big green arrow, like finally broke the top million. So that's nice. But it was it just felt like a really difficult week because had I not done that transfer and I just left it, I'd obviously be 11 points better off. And that makes a massive difference in terms of where you land overall, because suddenly it's rather than, you know, a 300k red green arrow, it's more like 500-600k because it's so close at the minute, a bit like Premier League. So yeah, a bit frustrated, even though it was a good week. And I hate feeling frustrated when I've had a good week because you want to enjoy them. But given it was my last chip as well, I kind of feel like it was a bit of a missed opportunity not to make a massive indent on mini leagues and overall rank. But it's a green nonetheless.
Yeah, so mine and Sam's chips are done. We both got 59 points. The difference is where our team were just two players. I had Wilson and Solanke. Sam had Rogers and Thiago. That does mean I had three Spurs players in my team. What on earth was going on there?
I only had two.
Yeah, I know. When I saw your team at deadline, I was like, wow, I never thought this would happen. Alas, I now have zero and it will probably remain that way for the rest of the season. Yeah, so Sam and I both got 59 points. Jules got 32. Jules is 210,000th in the world. I'm just inside the top 400K just. And Sam is 892,000 in the world. So yeah. Good week in terms of ranks are slowly climbing. Jules, you need to use that bench boost because you're the only one of us with a chip left. You need to use that wisely to really climb up.
I lost 90K in that time for game week.
Yeah, well, that bench boost better be picked on a good week. One of the doubles, I'm sure, which we'll talk about in just a moment. Let's just check in with the FPL Pod Mini League, though. Pedro Meschini is still top. He played his free hit, Captain Bruno. He got 56 points. Kim closed the gap a little bit to 10, also playing their free hit, getting 58 points. He's just 10 points now behind Pedro at the top. Oliver Tarby climbed back into third. He actually went through this week with 11 players without playing a chip and actually beat mine and Sam's free hit with 62 points. He's 20 points behind Kim. By the way, shout out as well to Ryan Goffin, who's fourth. He played his free hit chip, got 72 points, whilst Costa Gustafsson in fifth also played his free hit, getting an even better 74 points. It's so tight at the top, so it's going to be a really interesting few weeks, especially as Oliver Tarby is the only member of the league's top 10 managers with a chip to play. In fact, he's still got his wild card bench boost and triple captain. So yeah, could be a good end to the season for him. XY6XPL is the league code. Okay then, it's all about FPL, but we know that other competitions can play a big part in our decisions or Premier League managers' decisions and as a result, ours. So what we know about the FA Cup is that Manchester City and Chelsea both won the FA Cup semi-finals. That means that they'll face each other in the FA Cup final. That will be on the 16th of May. That means they will not play in the Premier League that weekend. So Chelsea's fixture with Spurs, Manchester City's fixture against Bournemouth was scheduled for game week 37. We'll actually go backwards to Tuesday, the 19th of May. That does mean that is going to stay in game week 37. As a result, no blanks or doubles. A bit of a blow, I'd suggest, but maybe easier as well to kind of navigate that. Jules, just a quick word on Arsenal in the Champions League. 1-1 against Atletico. I mean, it was certainly an eventful game. Any news from an FPL point of view?
I guess so. Victor Gyökeres scored his 19th goal of the season in all competitions. He got the penalty. He scored the penalty. We had Saka, who came on for all in all around 30 minutes if you count the added time. Eze also came off the bench to play for around 40 minutes. There was still no Julian Timber in the squad. However, Calafiori was back on the bench. Didn't come on, but he's on the bench. He would probably be available for the game against Fulham on Saturday, like Eze Saka, who I expect to start.
Okay, oh, that was very succinct for you. Normally I can have a couple of swigs of my drink, I can put my feet up. I suppose it was just one match, wasn't it?
It's only one game this time.
Yeah. And of course, we record on a Thursday morning. I'm sure you guys know that by now, which means that we don't know anything about Nottingham Forest against Aston Villa in the Europa League semi-final, the first leg. That's taking place tonight. And of course, Palace are also in action away at Shakhtar. Okay, we're going to come on to chip strategy in just a moment, but we do also have news. Although game week 37 is not going to be a double, game week 36 is. That's right, isn't it, Sam? I said that the right way. Yeah, it's 36. We're at the point in the season, guys, where I don't know what week it is. Man City and Crystal Palace, that game that we've been waiting for ages to find out when it's going to be rearranged. It's going to be played on Wednesday, the 13th of May. So Man City will have two home fixtures against Brentford and Palace. Palace will play Everton at home before travelling to Manchester City. And Sam, this is all about City, isn't it? I think really, because Palace, well, at the moment, they're in the Europa League conference, so they might have other priorities.
They might do. I think the other thing to say, though, is that double game week 36 obviously falls after both of the legs of the conference semi-final, and then they won't have the final until after the season ends. So maybe we do have a moment where there is a look at Crystal Palace and we see a little bit less rotation. I mean, maybe we don't. Maybe we still see rotation and they protect the players for that final, should they make it. But this definitely feels like the Manchester City double to target. You're going to have three. I think for a lot of managers that are wildcarding right now, there's going to be a conversation around, well, I think it's very easy for them. I think there's three obvious picks from Manchester City. I think the broader issue for those of us that aren't wildcarding at the moment is, are we on the right Man City three?
No.
And if we're not,
is my answer.
I think it's no for me as well. But if we're not, do you sideways move it to somebody else from Manchester City, or do you use that transfer to, say, get a Crystal Palace asset or get an asset from another team that's got a good fixture that week? Because it always does seem a little bit counterintuitive to sell a double game week player for another double game player. But in Manchester City's case, we might not have a lot of choice.
Who are we? Are we all in agreement on the best? Who are the best three City, Jules, you think? If you were wildcarded now, which three City would you go for?
I would go for O'Reilly and Haaland for sure. And then the other one, I mean, I think it's that conversation we've had pretty much every week. Cherki, yeah, but Semenyo is so heavily owned, far more than Ryan. Yeah. So if, well, it's exactly what we said, I think, last week and the week before I think Cherki is certainly much more informed than Semenyo, who's been blanking now for a few games in a row. But if Semenyo scores or even just assists and Ryan does nothing, it's going to cost you massively. So it's just up to what people want. If you're behind in your mini league, maybe, and you have to catch up with people above you, then go for Cherki every day. If you are already well positioned and you know people around you have Semenyo, you can't not have Semenyo just because you have to copy a bit of what the people around you. If there's somebody behind you, 10 points behind, and he has Semenyo and you don't, or she has Semenyo and you don't, and Semenyo does something in that double game week, you're going to curse yourself, and rightly so. So I think you play depending on where you are in all your mini leagues, in all your rankings, and see where you are. In terms of form, Cherki every single day. But Semenyo is so heavily owned that if he does something, he's going to hurt you massively if you don't have him.
Sam? I do agree, but...
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think the Chelsea double a few weeks ago is kind of proves the point though, doesn't it? Like, I know that we didn't expect João Pedro to miss out at all, but most of us kept João Pedro despite the lack of form simply because he was heavily owned and we were concerned about how that might impact on ranking and all of that stuff if he did well. Well, I look at this for Man City as a person that's got Semenyo and Gehi, so clearly not the right two in terms of form right now, Manchester City assets alongside Haaland. Gehi, I think I'll probably just hold. Like, it's a frustration to not have O'Reilly because he's so attacking, but I kind of feel like, well, making a defensive change doesn't really feel very exciting at the minute. The Semenyo Cherki one is really interesting because obviously I'm not happy with my rank. So do I try and move the dial a little bit by going for somebody different who's in better form? And what we've seen from Semenyo in recent weeks is he's been a lot further wide than he has been when he first started at Man City. When he first arrived, he played much closer to Haaland. He was getting much more in terms of shots on goal, whereas now it feels a little bit more like he's going to assist rather than get the goals themselves, a little bit like Bruno maybe. But he was unlucky at the weekend. Like, we could easily, there was a cross that goes into Haaland, which on another day Haaland scores. But yeah, I don't know, or last week rather. I think it's difficult because I really, really, really want to do that sideways move. But I kind of see myself going for a Crystal Palace asset instead to try and move the dial and get an extra doubler rather than trying to fix the three that I have.
I think that's the right thing to do. I really do. And I know Cherki would be great. Yeah. O'Reilly would be great. I don't think you lose much out between Gehi and O'Reilly, to be fair, potentially. Then Cherki and Semenyo, yeah, it's a different conversation. But I would not swap Semenyo for Cherki and use one of your free transfer or take a -4 when you can use that to get, I don't know, Munoz, Mateta,
yeah, who are we looking at from Palace? They're the three, aren't they?
And Henderson, if you need a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Who are you most likely to go? Oh, Sam's going to go for Munoz, isn't she?
Yeah, she loves him so much.
I do love him so much, but I think I'll probably end up with him and Ismaïla Sarr. I think I'll just try and target the double.
Yeah.
And don't forget, the game is on the Wednesday before the FA Cup final. So there might be some rotation made somewhere from a Guardiola point of view, from Guardiola to manage those two games before the FA Cup final too. It might just keep the rotation for the FA Cup final, which would be great for us, and play the strongest team in the league, because you would think between the two competitions, he wants to win the league more than the FA Cup. Ideally, he win them both, but if he has to choose one, it would be the league that is more important than the FA Cup. But with him, you just don't know either. So there's also that, I think, to keep in mind. Because if O'Reilly is not 100%, for example, and they feel, you know what, let's rest him on that Wednesday before the FA Cup final, then we'd all be gutted.
Okay, let's move on to talk about chips then, because as we said, myself and Sam have now used all of our chips. Jules still has his bench boost, and there are still a lot of other managers who have a chip to play. So as it stands, only 26.2%... Why can I not say that? Well, why have you written such a complicated percentage in the script, Sam? So far, only 26.27% of managers have played their wildcard, 31.28% of managers the free hit, 23.7% the triple captain, and 19.54% the bench boost. This means that there's a lot of chips that could still be activated in these final 4 weeks. If you still have all of your chips, make sure you play them on this week, by the way, because otherwise you're going to run out of game weeks to use them for the end of the season. So as it stands this week, the most popular chip is the wild card. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it, Jules? Because we just need to use it to make the most of it. Or I guess some people will say, well, I like the look of my team.
Yeah, if you like the look of your team right now, then keep it that way and then play your wild card for the double game week. In that case, you know, you can load your team up the way you want. You don't have to have three City players, yes, but maybe not three Palace players if you don't feel like it. But at least pick the right one, one on two, and then you can be very strong in all the other players, from Gibbs White to Bruno to, you know, whoever you want, who have decent fixtures, who are in good form right now. And that's great. But I think, yeah, if you don't want to play for this game week 35, then 36 is the time to play your wildcard. After that, unless you keep it for game week 38 to just have a bit of fun and use it almost like a free hit, you can. But it's a shame, because right now you can target the next, what, three or four games, really, and have a kind of a longer term or midterm, if you want, view on it than just if it's game week 38 and you just pick the players that give you the vibes.
Also, we have all of the information now, don't we, about the schedule. I know a lot of people were waiting for that. You know what you're picking a team for, which is what was maybe a little bit hard. Sam, triple captain?
The double, probably. I think that it's if you have it left, but you also have another chip left, i.e. the bench boost chip, then that's where it becomes a little bit more difficult, because then you're deciding between playing the triple captain on somebody with a double game week or potentially bench boosting through the double. Now, for me, I prefer the triple captain in the double over the bench boost. I think the bench boost can go in any week. Like, so if you have got multiple chips, then you can move the bench boost somewhere else. But the triple captain feels like an opportunity. Haaland, we would be fairly confident, is going to start in both of those two fixtures across that double game week. So I'd play it on him there. If you have got all the other chips and you want to play it somewhere else, then again, I think I'd look for slightly more differential week to play it in. And like Joel said, with the World Cup, I might even leave it till the final day to hit it, because then you pick it on a player that's got something to fight for. You know, we might have a title race going down to the season on the final day, and it might come down to goal difference. So at that point, you then give it to somebody that's got a good opportunity to score multiple goals.
Okay, bench boost then, Jules. Let's come on to that one before we do free hit, just because I'm intrigued as to when you're planning. Is it just going to be in 36?
Yeah, it'd be 36. I think it's easy, but Sam makes a great point. I think you can play it any way you want. If you really want to get technical, then you look at all your teams or your potential team.
So team dependent, isn't it, as well? Because everyone's got a different
bench. Yeah, the fixtures that they have.
Yeah.
But if you can have three City players and, let's say, I don't know, two Palace players or one Palace player in your team, and, you know, the Palace player might even be on the bench, but you can have a strong bench, I would play in that double game week 36. Otherwise, you're right, it depends a lot on fixtures, a lot on the players that you have or the players that you want to have. And in that case, you wait. Maybe if you need another free transfer and you roll them on for two more game weeks, then you can play your bench boost at that time when the team is exactly what you want, with the fixtures on game week 37 or game week 38, for example. And then you go for it at that time. But I like the idea of playing it on the double game week.
Sam, just going back to the triple captain, I just thought of something that Jules said before. Like, obviously, we try and use it on the likes of Erling Haaland. And so Erling Haaland in that double would be good. But we saw him benched in the FA Cup semi-final. That would be the one concern if I had my triple captain and was planning on using it in that double.
Yeah, I think it depends on, it's like Jules said before, doesn't it? It depends on priorities. Like, I cannot believe that Pep, at the end of a season where he needs to win every game in order to be sure that he's in with a chance of winning the league, benches his top scoring player. Yeah. Like, that doesn't, like, for me, I think he'll start him. I think it's more likely that we see rotation across the rest of that Man City squad, because it's not like they've got an obvious replacement for Haaland. Like last year when they had Alvarez as well, you could kind of maybe see that there might be some, but maybe less so this time around. I think you'd be fairly safe. I think I'd feel more confident playing on him than on somebody like Semenya or Cherki across that double game week, just because there feels like there's more potential for rotation around those spots than there is Haaland's.
Okay. I was talking about that as if I'm worried about that. For once, I'm not worried about that because I actually played all my chips. Free hit then. This feels quite nice in the double, doesn't it? If you don't have a triple captain or a bench boost, or I know that Sam in particular, Jules, is a big fan of kind of keeping it if you can for the final game week.
Yeah. Free hit for the last week of the season. Sam loves it. I think if you still have it, this is perfect. I don't know why you would not have played it already, but because as we saw, we played ours and it was pretty good when we played it. But if you still have it, then play it on that double game week, because you can target the three City players that you want exactly, not like, you know, compromise and have Gay when you want Riley, or have Semenya when you want Cherki, or, you know, whatever, Kusanov, Donnarumma, whoever you want. And then you can also go into Crystal Palace, because I don't think, you know, their players are lowly owned right now because they haven't had that great of a season in the Premier League. But if you feel that Saar or Munoz, Henderson, Mateta, those kind of guys, Trent Larson, if you want to go there, Mitchell could do something good, or Lacroix, one of the defenders, on those that double game week, even with a game against City away, by the way, at the Etihad, then you can go for it. And I think there's nothing wrong by having 3 and 3, for example, and then with your free hits, just load the rest of your team with, again, you know, some of the most informed players right now, players who you fancy the fixtures for them. And then you look really strong for this double game with 36.
Okay, if you've got all four left, Sam, what would you be doing with them?
I'd wildcard now, triple captain next week in the double, bench boost in 37. And then I'd free hit in the final game.
We knew this was...
Jules, this is not me.
Yeah, it would be this. I agree with Sam. I think it's fun to play your free hit on the last game of the season, really the last game week of the season, last weekend of the season. I think that's fun, and all the games are together too at the same time. So to follow is, you know, for your FPL team is fun. I think it's really fun to do. So you triple captain on double game week on Haaland, Brentford, Palace at home. That makes a lot of sense, and I agree with Sam. He will play. He will start those two games for sure. So then it's a question of, you know, just wildcard first to be ready for that double game week, then the triple captain, and then your bench boost, especially if in the wildcard you've targeted the teams and the players who have a good fixture in that game week 37, and then you finish on a really high notes. And I wanted to say something else, but I can only remember in French, but it's okay. C'est l'artifice, you know, fireworks, that's it, on game week 38 with your free hits.
I wish you just left that in, and then all the French listeners would be in on their own little secret. They'd be the only ones that know what you're saying. That is impressive, Jules, because you never ever do that. Your English is so good. So let's move on to...
It's not so true.
No, it is brilliant. It's better than our French, that's for sure. Just a quick word on a wild card, Sam. We could probably spend a whole episode of this podcast doing it, but if you were creating one now, who would be the kind of players you'd go for? Let's just quickly go through positions. Keeper first?
I'd have Raya and Darlow, unless you were bench boosting in 36, then I'd have Raya and Verbruggen to target in the Brighton nice fixture. Across the back line, I'd have Gabriel, Munoz, obviously, O'Reilly, and then I'd still keep Hill because I like the Bournemouth fixtures. And then it's a conversation depending on when the rest of your chips are. Van Hek's an option, a Leeds defender's an option, Pedro Porro, I think, is weirdly still an option, given he'll be our most attacking player now. Midfield, Bruno, I wrote Saka and then he didn't start last night and it's difficult. I think I potentially would still take a punt on him over the final weeks of the season, because if you're wildcarding now, the wildcard's for the final 4 weeks, right? Rather than just for this
week. They looked so much better when he was on as well.
Better. Yeah, absolutely. Ismail Assar, Cherki and Pascal Gross, because the man's a legend and he looks great for a bench boost in 36 as well. And then Haaland, Thiago and Dominic Calvert-Lewin up top. That's what I would do.
Jules, Any thoughts from you?
Yeah, no, I agree on some of the, I still would have Senesi ahead of Hill. I think there's something for Van Hecke or Ferdi Kadioglu at Brighton, because I think Brighton are mm-hmm. one of the most informed teams. Mm-hmm. Gross in midfield, if you want, even take a pen on Welbeck up front. I know he might not start every single game, but he's been on good form, as we saw the other day when he came on. And they've got Newcastle, Wolves, Leeds and United. Okay, Newcastle and United maybe, but Wolves and Leeds by then would be sure to stay up. So I think Brighton, there's something interesting with Brighton right now. I think even if Forest have top fixtures, because they will have Chelsea, Newcastle, United before Bournemouth at home on the last game of the season, I think Gibbs White in such a great form in 2026, really outstanding in everything that he does, even if there might be some rotation somewhere because they are obviously still in Europe too. I would probably go for Gibbs White somewhere. Casemiro, maybe one of the Liverpool boys like Wirtz, if the form can stay like he was in the last game, maybe. And then a front, yeah, maybe a Bournemouth. If you don't want Calvert-Lewin and you fancy a Van Nilsson or Kroupi, I think it's not a bad idea either, because the Bournemouth fixtures are decent.
There's going to be a lot of people, Sam, that will have bought in. Fortunately, I only did it on a free hit. Xavi, Solanke, Havertz, Salah. They've now kind of got the best, definitely not the best. They've got an injury to deal with. They were the best replacements, would you say? Obviously, there was some better news with Salah. He's going to be back before the end of the season, but that's a lot of money to kind of have waiting, isn't it?
Yeah, you can't hold him.
I told you, by the way, on Salah, yeah? I'm just putting this...
You didn't say he was going to get injured, did you?
No, I just said, like, don't go there.
And that was unlucky, like, to lose him on 59 minutes as well. Like, come on now, like... I hate the 59th minute sub. I bet you were. I was not laughing. I did not find it funny. Nor did I find it funny when you cursed Xavi either. I was not happy about that either.
I was really sad. I was really, really sad. I promise you. I'm not going to have a differential this week because I keep injuring people.
Well, just pick one that's not Spurs, please. so yeah, I think it's mostly midfielders. I mean, Solanke, I think you can if you want to stay at Spurs, I'm not sure why you would, but you could just go straight across to Richarlison if you so chose. I think you would target in on the fixtures that people have till the end of the season. So Dominic Calvert-Lewin obviously has a great fixture on Friday evening against Burnley, so you could go there. It also means that if you want to play five across midfield at any point during the course of the rest of the season, you could bench him because he's not too expensive. I like Kroupi for that as well. I think he's a really nice option if you want to either free up some money or just have an option that you could move to the bench in some of the fixtures and play in others. If you haven't got Thiago because you sold him a few weeks ago, then I think he's a decent option as well. I think if you're looking for a midfielder, if you haven't got all your Man City, then get Cherky. If you have got all your Man City, I'd get Ismail Assar and target in on the double game week for next week. Saka's an option. If you haven't got Gross, I think he's an option as well. I think we should be aware that if you're selling Salah, you don't necessarily have to spend all that money. Like, there's that reassuringly expensive thing. Like, I don't actually think there's anything wrong with going from Salah down to Casemiro for the two home fixtures that Manchester United have, because at home, he's just unreal. So there's nothing wrong with going from one end of the spectrum to the other in terms of budget.
Okay. Just a reminder as well, the fact that Game Week 35 falls in between Arsenal, Villa, Forest and Palace is kind of European games. Just bear that in mind, because we could see a little bit of rotation, couldn't we, Sam?
Yeah, we could do. I think also it depends, doesn't it? Because all of these teams, well, not Arsenal. Arsenal are going to get Champions League football for next season, regardless of what happens in the Champions League. So they're less of an issue. But obviously for Forest, for Palace, for Aston Villa, there's no certainty in the league anyway that they will get the level of European football that they want next year. In fact, for Palace, obviously, it's just about survival. So getting into European football again for next season will be a priority. They're obviously at the point where a win will take them through to the final, and that gives them a really good opportunity to lift some silverware this season. So you would expect them to prioritise getting through to those finals. Arsenal may be the exception because obviously of what's happening in terms of the Premier League race as well. But I still think that they will prioritise the Champions League. So yeah, maybe for the likes of Forest, although they don't have a massive squad, so we maybe don't see some rotation there. We've seen a lot of rotation with Crystal Palace. So maybe we do see the Sars and Matetas rotated again in Game Week 35. Aston Villa, yep, let's hope they rotate everyone because they play Spurs this weekend. So they can put out all the kids. Yes. Yes, I still have Morgan Rodgers.
What are you going to do with him?
But Villa have to finish top five as well.
I was going to say,
they have
to
finish top five.
He's a hold, isn't he?
Yes, yeah, certainly for the next two, because he's got a really great fixture in game week 36. So I definitely want him for that. Then I'll sell ahead of the two games to end the season, which are difficult. But they have no guarantee of getting European football, or Champions League football rather, next season via the league yet. And obviously, if they don't beat Forest, which is a difficult game in Europe, they could miss out altogether, which would be really disappointing given the season that they've had. And particularly when you think back to the start of the season when they just couldn't score a goal, the improvement that's happened this season. So they can't afford to just sacrifice that game on Sunday night, or I really wish they would, but they can't afford to. So I've got Morgan Rodgers. He's actually on my bench at the minute for this week because I'm so frustrated by him over recent weeks. But I wish I had a bench boost chip. I would play it this week. My bench is ridiculous for this game week.
Who's your bench?
Right. So it's Morgan Rodgers, who's got Spurs, who just can't keep a clean sheet. So thanks, Jules. I appreciate that. So that obviously I don't really fancy benching him. I have got Van Heek away at Newcastle, who can't score for love nor money at the minute. And I've got Senesi at home to Crystal Palace sitting there, as well as Dubravka against Leeds. Like, that feels definitely like a bench boostable team. Like, I look at it and think, oh, if I had my bench boost, I would play them. But it's a struggle. I mean, I've got Bajol, who is a doubt for tomorrow night's game. So potentially Van Heek comes off the bench anyway, or Senesi one or the other. I have to decide on the bench order. But yeah, I wish I had my bench boost chip to play. I'd play it now.
Okay, I think we've kind of focused on game week 35 and beyond, haven't we? Are there any kind of standout transfers for this game week, would you say, Jules? I feel like you've covered most of them with the wild card.
Yeah, and I think some of the Leeds boys that Sam mentioned a little bit already, Darlow in goal, for example. I think if you want Okafor, has a really big differential up front, or you know, in your midfield. But for him playing up front with Leeds, he's been in really good form. Probably more than Calvert-Lewin. I know the FA Cup loss to Chelsea was a disappointment, although they played well and they were probably the better-ish team on the day, and they were maybe a little bit unlucky. Or even James Justin, for example, because they are home to Burnley, a Berlin team that is already done. As we know, it's a bit the same for Sunderland, who I think will have to bounce back from that humiliation at home against Forest. And so if you think that away at Wolves they can do something just to redeem themselves and show a bit of pride after what happened last weekend, then maybe again Roofs, Lefebvre, Mukiele, one of the defenders, might not be a bad idea. And then again, I think Crystal Palace are going to play their B team at the weekend against Bournemouth in Bournemouth. So Senesi, Hill, Kroupi, you know, Petrovic.
Jules, I've got Senesi and Hill. Would you play both of them?
Absolutely. Completely. I would completely play both. And Bournemouth, don't forget, I have something to play for in the league. I know only like a Conference League position, but for them, it'd be huge to be in Europe next season, even in the kind of the smallest of the three competitions, really. So I think Bournemouth, and it's the last few games of Iraola, they would want to do well. I don't think they yet on the Bournemouth beach or the Bournemouth pier or whatever you call that. You know,
they've got a pier and a beach
in England. They have, you see, English people love piers like that.
I've got two, actually.
And beaches with no sand, which, like, again, why would you have
Bournemouth,
that?
Bournemouth has the best, I'm totally biased because I live there, Bournemouth has the best beach in the country and it's got two piers.
Yes, but you know, there's some other places where you only have stones.
Yeah, I don't get that either. Although I do like Brighton Beach. Anyway, we digress. I think we've probably covered off game week 35. Leeds face Burnley, so that, I mean, Jules, basically what you've said there is, target the teams that are playing the two relegated sides. Which
absolutely. Really original, eh?
No, but there will probably be people that are thinking, oh, well, I bought in Leeds for the double and now I'm going to kind of get rid for Palace's double or whatever. But it's a really valid point. Like, hold. Like, I've only got two Leeds actually, and I wish I'd gone for three now in hindsight. I've got Calvert-Lewin, I've got Darlow. I'm happy to have both of those for the rest of the season. I'm even pretty happy that I doubled up on Brighton. As it stands, I've got Van Heek on my bench and Hinshelwood as well. But yeah, they're kind of players that you're happy to have, and if they have to come into your team, then it's fine because they've got the form as well. Okay, let's move on to differential of the week. I've tried to get you banned from this, Jules, because we don't need any more big players
so
being injured in the Premier League.
Xavi Simons family and the Diego Gomez family.
But alas, we have to continue. You are definitely not going first though, because Xavi only got, I mean, to be fair, he got 3 points. because he got a clean sheet point. So that
isn't
bad.
Only one knee and 3 points. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say he got three points, but lost his ACL in the process. Poor guy. Sam's was far better with Casemiro, 12 points, three bonus, alongside a goal, of course, and DEFCON. He actually, I didn't know this until you put this in the script, Sam. 25 DEFCON. He'd already hit DEFCON by 37 minutes. That's the most in the game.
You should have doubled the points, really. You know, they should add your DEFCON points the more you have.
It's only the first season of DEFCON, Jules. Calm down, calm down.
No, I'm just giving them, you know, stuff to do for next season.
Go on, Sam. Who have you got?
I don't know how you beat Casemiro, because I was so happy with that one. Honestly, that one made me really happy.
You would only have been happy if he was in your team.
And you know, I had a long conversation about him in my house, because I was like, I really fancy him. And there wasn't anyone I could take out. Like, I wasn't going to take out Salah to put in Casemiro. I wasn't going to take out Dango. Although both of them, Xavi rather, that's a spoiler alert for who's my differential. I couldn't take either of them out for Casemiro. So in the end, I didn't have him. But from the differential perspective, it was nice. This week, it's Dango from Brentford. He's going to cost you 5.8 million. He's only owned by 2.3% of the game. He faces West Ham at home, where Brentford have been really excellent this season. He's got more assists than any other Brentford player at home this season, as well as being third for goals scored at home so far this season. That's only behind, obviously, Thiago, who's just a different class. And then Sharder. He's taken 17 corners at home, had 25 shots, including 7 from set pieces. He's also had 12 big chances, which only Thiago can better in home fixtures this season. And he's averaging 5.5 points per start at home, which is only better by Thiago, which is only slightly better at 5.7 points per start at home. So yeah, I think maybe it's the Spurs fan in me that's hoping that he can do something against West Ham. I don't know. But his home form is really good. And so we're going to go with Dango this week.
Okay, go on then, Jules.
I've mentioned him already, but I've gone for Noah Okafor at Leeds. It will cost you 5.6 million. He's only owned by 2.4% of the managers. If you have a place somewhere in your midfield, he's in great form. He scored 14 points against Wolves, 15 against United. I think playing alongside Calvert-Lewin with Aronson around them, I think suits him a lot, much more than if it was really wide, like he had done before earlier in the season, for example. So he's in great form. I really hope, because I want him to go to the World Cup, obviously, with Switzerland. I really hope that I don't jinx him as well, and I don't do the hat trick of three differential players in a row to get injured. But I think he's in good form. And again, as we said, it's Burnley at home. If Leeds win, they're guaranteed to stay up. So it'll be a very special day at Elland Road. And I think that if Okafor is in form and scores, then Leeds will win. So yeah, go for him.
Okay, best of luck to him not getting injured this week. Transfers and captains. Captains, let's start with your captains. I'm currently on Bruno, though. I also am scared of not captaining Haaland, Sam.
I am currently on Haaland, but I'm also considering Bruno. It's a home fixture. The one thing that slightly puts me off Bruno is also the one thing I love about him, and that's that he just seems to want to pass the ball to everyone. Let's get as many assists as possible, which is also great in FPL, obviously, because it gets us points. But there was a moment on Monday night where I was thinking, take the shot yourself, Bruno. Like, come on now, take the shot. Don't keep passing it. But then I look at Haaland and I look at the fact that Man City have to win, you would think, every single game between now and the end of the season if they want to win the league. And I think, it seems really difficult to go against Erling Haaland in that moment, because if Man City need to win games, I would expect Erling Haaland to be a big part of why they do. And therefore, I think I will go for Haaland instead. But I do like the Bruno at home fixture, because Liverpool defensively have not been great.
Jules?
Yeah, I go for Haaland. It's a valid point from Sam. If you have Bruno, and we all do. I just think Haaland right now at this time of the season, with what City need from him and in terms of results, I think it'd be very tricky not to go for him.
Okay. Who knows? I'll be between one of them. I'll probably get the Haaland fear, because it feels like most people end up captaining him in the end. Okay then. So confirmed transfers. What are you doing, Jules?
I'm rolling it. So I've got two next week to, you know, get two more City players, because I only have Haaland right now, so then I can get three City players for the double game week, and then maybe even next week take a -4 for one Crystal Palace just for the fun of it, you know. So, but yeah, so for now I don't do anything.
Sam?
Oh, this is boring, isn't it? Because I'm also rolling. I only got one transfer, and as I've mentioned, my bench looks ridiculous. I would like to have two next week because I think getting two Crystal Palace assets makes sense and probably get Munoz and Sarr. But then equally, I like Rufus's fixture for this week, but then I don't really like him beyond that. So maybe a goalkeeper swap over to Henderson for the final weeks of the season. Maybe it happens at that point, or maybe I just forget about the Crystal Palace defence and just go for Raya to end the season instead and have the defensive double up at Arsenal because also they need to win games and be solid defensively. So no transfer this week. I'll have two for next week.
I think I'm going to roll as well. I've got three free transfers though, so there's a chance I go this week, but I don't
three.
Want... Yeah, that's I don't good. Want a... Yeah, I don't want a Palace because I haven't made one because I did my wild card and then my free hit. So, and I had, yeah. I think I had two before. So yeah, anyway, it is what it is. I might, although I've still got Cole Palmer and I don't really want Cole Palmer. I've got Cole Palmer and Joao Pedro, but I don't quite know where I want to go from there. So yeah. We'll see. There's still plenty of time to change my mind. However, not quite as much time this week because the deadline is Friday night, 6:30 p.m. because Leeds versus Burnley is the Friday night fixture. Lee and Az are going to be on off the bench next week to run through all the action from Game Week 35. And the Fantasy Show is back on Friday. I believe it's Praz with me in the studio. So, in fact, I think I might have two guests with me. So I'm really sorry if I've missed who the other guest is. There's going to be two FPL top experts is all I'm going to say. I feel terrible now. We'll be back same time, same place next week, guys. Have a good one. Bye.